Blog Talk Radio.
Another wonderful evening. Oh, my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. I'm telling you, tonight's a good night, a great night. Lots going on. You're going to have to tell me how the Leafs did. I was too busy being on the radio and trying to do something here. Didn't catch how it ended. It looked like it was headed in the same direction that the last few games had headed. The Leafs have a lead and then drop it, but you'll have to let me know what happened there. Let's jump to where we're supposed to be, and that is with the Canadian Football League. Okay, the whatchamacallits. Well, you know, they finally gave me a reason why the team should be known as the Red Blacks. They're also associated with the Governor General's Foot Guards and the RCMP and other images associated with the nation's capital. Okay, that tells me it's a good idea. And we'll all get used to it. They'll be called the RMBs, you know, like the Rhythm and Blues. Or, you know, in case they're falling behind, they'll be right back. RB, right back. All that kind of stuff. They'll have a running back who's an RB, a red black. You know, things like, they're losing. Well, they won't be called black and blues. Well, black and red, you know, bruises and, you know, injuries. Yeah, black and red are two colors for injuries. Yeah, they can work. So they got a new GM, and that's all good. That's old news. Hopefully he's going to bring in some coaches and a team that's going to be suitable for the long-awaiting fans of Ottawa. They deserve a team as quickly as possible. It's been a rich career history for Ottawa. Ottawa's had teams, has lost teams, has had them again, lost them again. Hopefully this time will be the last time. Mind you, they have an owner who's been around there with the Ottawa 67s for a long time. So, you know, that could be a lot better. Anyway, moving on to the Montreal Alouettes. Montreal Alouettes released veteran receiver Brian Bratton, back quarterback Adrian Pearson, and kick returner Trent Guy on Friday. They're good, you know, good players. Unfortunately, injuries sometimes cause players to not be picked up again. That's kind of hard to overcome. Bratton had too many injuries, I guess, and maybe he isn't healthy enough to continue with the Alouettes. Now, outside of Anthony Calvillo, there isn't going to be much. There isn't going to be much out there that the fans will recognize. Then Quinn Porter, defensive back Byron Parker, and receiver Arlen Bruce. And they all signed to multi-year contracts. So you know that they're trying to get some stability as much as they can, as soon as they can. Now, the team has also found its way into looking for a coach. And unfortunately, some people are losing their patience with becoming the coach of Montreal. And we'll see if it's going to be a situation where they add coaches that maybe aren't bilingual. I have a feeling that might be the way they might end up going. It'll be not a good deal, but you know. Now, nobody's told me how the Hamilton Bruins Stadium is going. Is it still there? There are a lot of reports out with some unhappy people that McMaster has not made it to be the home field for the Hamilton Tiger Cats next year. There's a lot of political wrangling going on after the fact. I suppose a lot of Hamilton fans, because Hamilton fans aren't like most fans. They don't sit back and wait for stuff to happen. They're an aggressive group of fans. That's their character. aggressive in a good way. And, you know, obviously with every good quality, if you go too far in that direction, it can become a bad quality. But I think in this case, the Hamilton fans have a right, I guess, to suggest that why wasn't McMaster considered, and maybe that business about playing in the community would have been too disturbing to the residents. Might not be a story told well enough to convince the Hamilton football fans. Well, we've got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're contemplating a new stadium and, of course, new quarterback, possibly. We'll hope to see that Winnipeg comes back as a competitive team. Next year's going to be interesting because you know, the Argos found new success. Will they continue with that success? Well, you know, you've got Winnipeg, Hamilton, and Montreal. They're in awkward places in their development as competitive teams, needless to say. Moving over to the West Division, where one of those teams could very well cross over in the playoffs, they're all of concern, of course, to the Toronto Argonauts and the Eastern Division teams. You've got CFL All-Star Weston Dressler with last year's career leads, the Riders group of receivers heading into 2013, and they've just got an incredible amount of receivers. You can call and talk about why you think Saskatchewan will be the third team in a row to win the Grey Cup in their hometown. You can also argue that point if you want. They do have an embarrassment of riches as far as receiving is concerned. Calgary, Bobby Bryan is ready to entertain the free agent offers. He's not waiting for the 15th. For whatever reason, I mean, you know, has at least free son with any team he chooses now at this point. And now in the British Columbia, the British Columbia Lions center Angus Survey, say Reed, is signed on for the 13th season and an option for the 14th season with the Leos. It did come as a bit of a surprise for him in his CFL career, but, you know, what are you going to do, right? Now, Sean Gore is back with the Vancouver team, and we know that's a good thing for Vancouver. And the BC Lions gave up on Arlen Bruce, and now he turned up, of course, in Hamilton. And Montreal has a multi-year contract. His package isn't so bad. Now, our Toronto Argonauts. Well, we still got Cackard out there. We talk about Cackard. I mean, is this a weird way to do things? There's no more word on whether he is signing a contract with the Jets. Now, Ed Filion is back in the CFL. He's the veteran defensive lineman joined the Toronto Argonauts as defensive line coach on Friday. The CFL club also hired Eddie Brown as its defensive backs coach. Filion appeared in 127 career games with Montreal Alouettes and was a four-time CFL All-Star. He played in five Grey Cup games, winning in 2002. Before joining the Alouettes in 99, Filion spent time with the NFL's Buffalo Bills down to W from here in Toronto. Filion played for the Argos defensive coordinator Chris Jones in Montreal from 2002 to 2006, and later served as a guest coach with Calgary in 2010 when Jones was with the Stampeders. Brown joins the Argos after spending 6 years as a coach at the Grand Valley State University. He played 13 seasons in the Arena Football League as a defensive back receiver, winning three Arena Bowl championships with the Tampa Bay Storm in 91, 93, and 95. Now, the National Basketball Association, the Raptors made a big deal, and out of that big deal, we can talk about, does everyone here agree with that deal? Is Rudy Gay the best player in that triumvirate of teams that made the deal that saw us lose Davis and Calderon? It's a question for you. Is Bargnani on the way out, or is he going to be another big man? Is he going to play like he's capable? He still hasn't come back into the lineup. He's supposed to be coming back soon. Now, Valanciunas is back. Jonas is a key player for the Raptors, and it's good for him to be in the lineup because he adds another dimension to the team that is otherwise not there. His aggressiveness works well with Gay. So, you know, we're going to take a short break and join us when we come back.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca. Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay. Change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Yeah, I'll be there. I don't know yet whether John's my date or not. I'm hoping my wife comes along. That'll make it a little more interesting on Valentine's Day. Or maybe the other way would have been more interesting. Not good, but interesting. All right, so I understand we're having a little trouble with the audio. Please stay tuned. And hopefully it'll work itself out. I've got somebody from Blog Talk Radio from the network working on some issues, and that might be the reason, but that's all good. We'll keep plugging along, and we'll continue with, of course, the NBA. Can you believe this? You've got the president of the NBA is now being investigated because, well, the union chief, Billy Hunter, money's gone kind of weird, and now he's on indefinite leave Friday. What is it? What is it with sports and guys that do this kind of stuff? It's easy, really, because most of the guys are athletes, and they really don't know anything about business. So we see what happens in society and in regular businesses where a business is run by somebody with other business people, and weird stuff happens. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the NBPA has a few problems itself. Now, in hockey, let's move on to hockey. And PK Subban, boy, did people stop breathing really quick on the weekend when he got hurt. I mean, the question had to be, oh my goodness, he didn't sign, he sat out, and now he's going to have an injury. Well, he came back, he was okay. Whether he's long-term okay or short-term okay, we don't know. But the important thing is that he got back in and it looks like he's okay. The Leafs, as usual, maybe if somebody could tell me what happened with the Leaf game, since I'm not watching it, you can tell me how that turned out. It should be over right about now. Saturday when they played the Bruins, they played a very disciplined game. They played in a way that they will win once they learn to play this style with a little more ease and have more of a flow to the way they play defense, so they don't have to work at it as hard, where it becomes more natural, and then they concentrate a little more on their offense, and that seems to be what's happening for them right now, is they cannot seem to get enough goals at opportune moments to make to make or break the other team and end up winning the game. We saw that against Boston, a ridiculous call, these interference calls with the goalies when there's really no interference. It's, I don't know. It's been suggested maybe that we all were so worried about the players being out of shape, maybe the whistles are a little stale or rusty. Maybe that's the problem. And we're still trying to salvage Phoenix. In baseball, the Blue Jays, it's going to be a great year for them. Whether they win the World Series or not, they've got a team that can win most of their games. And then if they're doing the right thing at the right time, playing the way they can, then you know, good news is in front of us as far as that's concerned. Now, the biggest news right now, as far as I'm concerned, is tennis. Tennis Canada must be bursting at the seams. Bursting at the seams. Milos Raonic won his head-to-head, and also that meant that Spain was eliminated, and Canada moves on to the quarterfinals in the Davis Cup. Guys, that is monumental. Tennis Canada is an organization that really does do a good job and does the best they can with the interest that is in tennis, A, and B, course and the ability for people to play tennis enough. You know, like, I don't have a problem with hockey rinks. With tennis courts, we might very well. And the weather isn't conducive to having great tennis players. As many of you who know tennis at all know that many of the great tennis players that Canada produces spend a lot of time in Florida and in warm places. Can't be helped. So it basically means you become a road warrior and you develop your skills on the road. Okay, so I think I've said enough to get you guys going. I've got a little bit of a bug, and I hope to give it to any of you, the call. So why don't we start with caller number one. Who are you and where are you calling from? You're up. Hello? Well, here, we'll bring somebody else in at the same time. There you go. Well, I know who this is. This is Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, Frank.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Yourself?
Bad, not bad. I've got another caller, but he—I think he stepped away from the phone for a second. And how are you doing tonight?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Good. Hey, so we've got that party on Saturday where we will be contributing our ticket to the Sick Kids Foundation.
Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be showing up, of course, with my fiance, and looking forward to being served a nice dinner. It goes to a great cause, so I'm pretty excited about that as well. I don't know what I just wanted to talk to you about the Super Bowl last night. That was pretty crazy, eh?
It was. I would like to say that. Let's see. How can I put this? Oh, okay. So Baltimore charged out to a lead. Then it looked to me like the San Francisco 49ers had short-circuited and were unable to electrify the crowd in any way. They started out no charge, dead battery. And then they had the blackout where the lights went out.
I heard a little rumor that the lights went out due to Vegas.
well, the 49ers were the favorites. To my surprise.
For sure they were the favorites, but I'll tell you, the game reminded me a lot of a game that we all got to watch a few months ago. Toronto was the underdog. Calgary was in red. San Fran was in red. We came out flying. And Calgary didn't look back. Now, had they had a power outage and, you know, an extra half an hour to regroup, then who knows? You know, but the fact is that to me, the game is very similar. The way that Baltimore came out was very similar to how Toronto came out. They came out strong. They came out confident. And went, this is our game. And they proved it all the way to the end.
They did a Baltimore really, the game was made no mistakes and capitalized on mistakes San Francisco made. And Kaepernick, for the first time in Super Bowl history, threw an interception as a 49er. No 49er before him ever threw an interception in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy, though, who had 9 starts.
Well, you know, his inexperience, and that's why I didn't understand why Vegas why Vegas went for San Francisco. I thought for sure that Baltimore was going to be the favorite. And
are
I
you
thought
kidding?
For sure.
How many yards did he rush for?
Kaepernick?
Yeah, a few games ago. No.
Oh, not. No. Okay, back up. I don't remember. But a lot. And he's a quick quarterback. But, you know, you had a team, Baltimore, that came and they were all business. They had experience, a more mature team as opposed to the 49er team, a lot younger. You know, Kaepernick made a mistake and basically wasted a timeout. He shouldn't have done that, but you know, he should take a play from a coach, but he didn't. You know, there's things that young enthusiasm can overcome, but there's things that young enthusiasm can't overcome. And Jane, you've got, you know, let's face it, Baltimore had far more experience and they were fired up.
Oh, yeah, they wanted it.
And they looked like they wanted it.
Yeah. It was just like the Argos when in the Grey Cup. They came out there and they wanted it. They were strong on defense. They were strong on offense. It was just go, 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 go. Same thing happened with Baltimore. They went out there and they said, nah, today we're going to win. And they just ran over them. And it wasn't until that extra long halftime show and then another half-hour stoppage. You know,
that hurt Baltimore a lot. It really did hurt Baltimore a lot. They were fired up. You know, and they were really, really tearing. They were tearing going to pieces. And that you watched them during the blackout, and they were relaxed, and you know, and they were having a nice little chat. There could have been a coffee machine between them because it looked like, you know, at work in an office. You know, they were so relaxed. And of course, all the 49ers could do was look at the scoreboard and be embarrassed and get more and more embarrassed. And get more and more angry and get more and more motivated. And 35 minutes, those two factors meant that, you know, San Francisco almost pulled it off. Came very close to that last call there where there wasn't pass interference. What did you think of that call that wasn't made? Was it a good non-call?
Oh, yeah, for sure it was a good non-call. If they were going to call it, they could have called it either way. It was as much offensive pass interference as it was defensive pass interference. You know, he pretty much pushed Buddy right to the ground. So, they were both looking at the ball. I don't know. It's one of those things that if you're going to call it, then both guys would have been called. So you don't pull out the flag. And you don't pull out the flag. It's like, you know, the game 7 of the Stanley Cup in the last 5 minutes. Do they pull out the whistle? No,
they try not
put
to.
Away. No, you know, unless the guy's head is taken off by a stick, you know, guys get away with everything. I've seen Chris Chelios throw a few elbows in his time that were, you know, should have been called, but play went on. You know, that's
That happened in the 93 playoffs with the Leafs against LA. They put away the whistle, Gretzky, high stick, Gilmore, and there was no penalty.
And then we had an LA-Montreal final.
And the rest is, as they say, history. Aaron, I got your line up. I don't know, Aaron might have fainted while he was waiting online. He probably fell asleep listening to me orate in a manner that I needed to because we couldn't talk too quickly. The sound here is going a little funky. We hope you can make up most of what we're saying.
I can for the most part, Frank. I'm just listening to your dulcet tones.
Oh, there you are. See, he's there. Hey, Aaron, what did you think of the game?
Oh, I only caught the last third. I was actually out playing lacrosse, so I missed the majority of it.
Oh, you missed the majority of it. Well, so you were playing lacrosse? You were playing at the Toronto Rock facility?
No, I was actually playing in the Toronto Lightning League. It's a beer league that plays out of Stephen Leacock out in Scarborough every Sunday.
That's a trek for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trek, but, you know, they needed goalies, so I'm always willing to make the trip.
Oh, so you're a goalie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Aaron,
a good deal, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tell the folks out there who you are and what you do and how you what you support. We'll get onto that subject as well. I've been waiting to get onto that subject. We get onto that subject pretty much now. Go for it.
All right, well, my name's Aaron. Everybody in lacrosse circles, they tend to call me Meat or Meathead. It's a long-standing nickname. I play goalie. I'm a big Toronto Rock supporter. I've missed about, I think, 6 games in the past 14, 15 years of watching Rock lacrosse, so I'm an avid supporter of that. I'm not so much high on the Leafs anymore, but that's, you know, a different story. I think everybody understands that. But
Understands what?
The fact that I'm not a huge Leafs supporter. I lived through the Ballard years. I think that's enough for anybody.
So did I. It's okay. He never liked me, so we had a mutual disadmiration society.
Yeah, I think
he didn't like
me.
I didn't like him. No, but it wasn't personal. It was just business, you know. Covering back 20 years ago was when I was involved in sports. I had a sports show on Rogers, and one of the cameramen went to Harold and used some reports from there, and he said, "Hey, would you like to wish Frank a happy birthday?" Now, you have to know Ballard to know what his response was. Ballard wasn't a politically correct kind of guy. And he basically referred to my heritage and how much he didn't like me. Oh, okay.
He was a classy, classy gentleman, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Pat, thank you for that video. I don't know what happened in that video. It was funny. Anyway, the Leafs haven't exactly burnt up a league. They've created a situation where the fans here are so hungry for a win. No, not even a winner. The fans are so hungry for it. You think that when they won a game that they won the Stanley Cup. That's how much the fans here in Toronto want their team to win. And I don't blame them for wanting their team to win. You know, it's a new management team there now, right? I mean, Rogers now and Bell, they own the team, right? You've got Rogers owns the Blue Jays. Rogers owns, what doesn't Rogers own? Well, whatever Bell owns, Rogers doesn't own. That's pretty much it right there. You mentioned those two, Rogers and Bell, and you've got everything covered. I mean, they even have their hand or finger in the pie of Montreal Canadiens, that being Bell, you know. So, they gave up a bit of their ownership with Montreal so that they could get into this deal with Rogers. So, you know, that brings us around to why I know why I support the Argos. And I also believe that's probably part of the reason why you support your team, the Rock, and I support them as well. The Rock and the Argos have something in common. They have,
teams in Toronto not owned by MLSE is the one thing they've got in common right off the top.
Yeah, and their own private ownership, if I can use that term. I might be stretching it, I might not be stretching it, but the point is they're not a high-profile corporation that owns them, right? That's huge, right? I mean, obviously they're not poor people, but I don't think they're in the same league as, say, Bell and Rogers. So what happens is you've got two sports that are underserved in our community because of the competition for butts to sit in the seats, right?
Exactly.
You know, so you've got two sports that are actually very good sports. I love Canadian football. And I used to be a play-by-play guy for the Toronto Beaches Lacrosse, a junior team that played out of Birchmount Stadium. And believe me when I say this, I understand the sport of lacrosse. I developed a deep admiration of the sport. These are very athletic people who love their game so much and give so much for so little in return. And you can almost say that for both those leagues, being the CFL and the NL, the players are special. They're very special people. They're ordinary guys in your league, electricians, in the CFL, teachers. You know, that's the history. And it's easy to be loyal to teams like that, isn't it, Aaron?
It definitely is. I think actually one of the major things that sold me on both the National Lacrosse League and the CFL is the fact that the players are incredibly approachable. That you see them out there grinding and banging and crashing and dropping the mitts and going toe-to-toe with someone. But after the game, they're just as happy to raise a pint with that guy and to sit down and actually talk with the fans. And I think it's the very fact that these guys are literally just regular Joes. You know, they go out and they do their job, but during the week they're teachers, they're firemen, they're policemen, they're stockbrokers, you could walk past them on the street and probably not notice them unless you followed the game. And
there's
I think
similar,
that's what
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that's what makes it absolutely wonderful is the fact that it's a sport that pretty much anybody can play, but not everybody does.
I think also there's parallels with lacrosse right now, going back to the original six in the National Hockey League. Lacrosse is much like the original six were, and that is most of the players are Canadian.
Yes.
And they provide and supply for the lion's share of the teams, which are in the U.S., the players, the lion's now, share of players.
It wasn't always that way, though. I mean, back when the league first started with teams in Baltimore and Detroit and what have you there, it was known as the Eagle Pro Box Lacrosse League.
Oh, okay.
Because an equipment manufacturer back in 1986 decided they wanted to sell more gear. So they started teams in, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Detroit, that sort of thing. And over the course of time, it gradually expanded. I mean, at one point, there were teams in Vancouver, Montreal, Ottawa, and what have you. The teams in Ottawa and Montreal were actually run by the same ownership group that owned The Rock.
Wow.
So those, unfortunately, they didn't last as long as people would have liked them to. I really would have loved to have seen lacrosse take off in Montreal because the rivalry between those two cities was just unbelievable when the Express were actually in the league. But these things happen, you know. You don't get enough of a foothold, you don't get enough exposure, and the major league tenant has the arena booked for, you know, 41, 42 games a year. It's hard to get space in between concerts and circuses and what have you.
Absolutely. And Jamie, are you still there? I'll give him a chance. Okay. I'll try.
Hey,
I'll try. Yeah. I was just gonna ask you, how much do you know about lacrosse?
I'll be honest. I played a little in high school. You know, it was sort of mandatory. And
there's a reason why I'm asking you a question. Now, from somebody who's standing on the outside, who may not be obviously not as a fervent Rock fan, right? What would be the question you would ask a Rock fan as not a fan of the Rock or of the game? What would be a question that you'd ask that if you had the opportunity to ask, this is a good time to ask because Meathead here is pretty well versed in the history and the existence of the National Lacrosse League here in Toronto. Go for it.
Well, I have to say, I've watched a few games on TV. And these guys beat the crap out of each other with their lacrosse sticks, and never is a penalty called. Are there penalties?
There are. The rule book for the National Lacrosse League, as Joe Bowen once said, is about a page shorter than the rule book for the WWE. The general rule is you're allowed to make contact with the stick between the shoulders and the mid-thigh. Anything outside of that is a slash. Cross checks from behind are illegal. Elbows are illegal. There's fighting penalties. There's tripping. There's hooking. All that sort of stuff. There are actually penalties, but the running joke is that unless there's blood, they won't call it.
It's a tough sport. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Now, let's say if Southern Ontario, or specifically the Toronto area,
mm-hmm.
had a stadium that wasn't owned by MLSC or whomever, if there was a stadium, do you feel that maybe part of the problem is that teams like The Rock, and I'm going to say for sure, this is what I'm going to say, that because the Argos don't have a stadium that they can call their own, or that they are not only a tent, but they can derive the income from, you know, all the satellites that happen, like beer, you know, popcorn, hot dogs, mm-hmm. pizza. Do you think teams would have a better shot at being successful?
I think shared ownership is a large part of it. The Air Canada Centre, truth be told, is really designed to be a dual-purpose building. It's supposed to be specifically hockey and basketball. The bonus part is that box lacrosse is played on a hockey floor. So it's really a question of trucking that in. But the fact that The Rock are paying as much as they do to rent the facility for as many nights as they do, and they aren't guaranteed it. Like, we've had games bumped by the Leafs before. You know, it's just the most frustrating thing in the world.
Jamie's going to jump in a second. Well, he doesn't. I know somebody else who can't right now because I didn't open his line up. But go ahead. Continue.
But, I would absolutely love to see the Rock have their own facilities. You know, a strict dedicated lacrosse facility would be absolutely fantastic for the team. In the same way that the Argos having their own stadium would be the best thing in the world for them. They'd be able to control prices. They'd be able to control attendance, everything like that. And that would be a boon to both teams. It really would.
It'd still be nice if it was a dome, though.
Well, that would be given.
I'll be honest, you know, having gone to games at Winnipeg and sitting outside in the freezing cold and then, you know, getting to enjoy the bellows of the Rogers Center, you know, it's kind of nice not to have to, you know, you can sit there in your T-shirt or your jersey and it's climate controlled and, you know, it's kind of a nice atmosphere as well, I'll be honest, you know. Not that I want to be so spoiled, but, you know, sitting outside at minus 30 degrees and watching a football game is not a lot of fun either.
Let's take it a step further, James. This year, you've got three of your children
in
the game. That would be a lot less of a... you wouldn't be as interested in doing it outside.
No, we do it outside when we go to Winnipeg every year. We have a lot of family out there, so we'll do it outside there.
To the games outside?
Yeah, well, but it's in the middle of the summer in Winnipeg. You know, it's very nice there in the middle of the summer. Not so nice in the middle of the winter.
There you go.
Not so nice even in October, so.
Exactly. The late season games, you definitely wouldn't bring children because it'd be a little tough on them, right? Well, I'm just trying to point out another reason why climate control helps you bring your children if you want to bring them, because then you don't have to worry about them. Because we tend as parents to worry about our children so getting might catch a cold or something like that. So to me, an indoor stadium is more family-oriented, if I can say that. But I think the subject that Aaron, we're on the same page. I think what we're trying to say, and this is what crossed my mind, and I'd love to talk to the Argos about this. Imagine this now. Let's say the Argos want to promote, and the same is true for you guys, for the Toronto Rock. If the Argos want to promote their team and the league, now, it's against... If they had all the concessions and the parking and all this other stuff, that this income that comes from people who turn the turnstiles, right? Mm-hmm. If they were able to keep that money, the Argos could do something I think they should do, and that is they should have an appreciation day where they give free tickets to high school kids, to high schools and the like, and invite them to fill the stadium. Now, they won't make any money on the tickets, right? And at the same time, though, they have to give free tickets to the people who buy the tickets, the season ticket holders, or people who buy tickets. If they buy a ticket, they get another one free that they can use sometime during the season, right? The money that's acquired by the sales of beer and popcorn and pizza wouldn't be much, but it's enough money that Rogers isn't willing to share it with the Argos or the ACC is willing to share with Rock. You know, that's where the money really is. That's where the little bit of seed money that you get, you know, you can promote the game, but it's not worth it for the Argos to give away any free tickets because they get nothing for it, as I'm sure the truth is as far as the Toronto Rock is concerned. Aaron, you first. What do you think of what I just said?
Well, I mean, certainly the incentive to paper the house is there to make it look more full. The idea that you can make the money back on concessions, unfortunately, it kind of, that's where you get into the gray territory, because how much concessions would you actually have to have in order to compensate for that? I mean, I know The Rock, for example, The Rock rent the Air Canada Center, I believe it's for 7 or 8 hours on days of games. At $5,000 an hour to rent, you're looking at $35,000 to $40,000 per game.
Absolutely. You know? But the point is, if you're there, what does it cost you more to bring other people in as sort of a promotion?
I know the question from there is how many people are actually going to come back. A lot of people, and I'm a cheapskate this way too, if I get free tickets, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to buy for the next game.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's the slippery slope that you get down, is how much papering is enough papering. And this is one of the issues that they actually, I believe, ran into in Montreal. They kept papering the house and papering the house to try to make it look full, but everybody said, well, I keep getting these free tickets. Why the hell should I buy any? Which is, I think, one of the reasons why the Express didn't last as long as it could have. So it's a fine balance between making sure that you give away enough tickets to high schools and to different individuals, you know, through radio station promos and TV and what have you. It's a fine balance between that and making money back on the fact that you're giving away as many tickets as you are. And it's difficult to find the balance.
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. And when we come back, we'll talk about this. Hello, yes, dinner, February 9th. Sounds good, but oh, really? Argo Players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Welcome back. Well, we're promoting the Toronto Rock. What's the phone number for the Toronto Rock ticket office?
You can get in touch with the Toronto Rock at 416-596-3075, and you're going to want to talk to Nick Yates. His extension is 234.
Say it again.
It's 416-596-3075, extension 234.
No, I've never been to the Valentine's party that the Argos are having. Aaron, stay here. Just we're talking with Argos. Doesn't mean you have to leave. But there's on Saturday there's going to be a dinner that the Argo players are going to serve, and the fans are going to get a chance to have a decent meal. Now it does cost $100 a person, but the money goes to Sick Kids Foundation, which is always a good thing. Jamie, have you gone to one yet?
No, Frank, this will be my first time.
Also, we're both experiencing something new.
Yes.
I know John's been there, but you know, John's voice is not going very well today. Apparently suffering from something like Jared has a bit of a sore throat, and he really wants to save it for another day. But, you know, we'll probably let him come in here for a minute or something. But now Jarrett is not feeling well. I want to say hello to Jarrett. Jarrett Harris. He is, of course, Aaron's buddy. Aaron's not feeling well. He would love to have gone like he did last Monday, but unfortunately he's feeling a little bit under the weather. You want to say hello to your buddy?
Most definitely. I want to give shout-outs to Jerry. Let me know. It's still kicking his butt, so he'll be back when he can.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he was willing to say, I'll try to get better enough so that I can come on later. Don't worry about it, buddy. Just get better. It's all good, man. We'll do okay. We'll be fine. Yeah, so, you know, the similarities between the two franchises I don't think can be lost in people's minds. Both games are hardcore. They're tough games. You know, they're games that are played with a lot of physicality. And equally, you've established in my mind, in the listeners' minds, in Jamie's mind, that in fact they're very sportsmanlike with each other. it's also something that's very, very normal with football. Jamie, we've witnessed it all year where the players cross the field and congratulate each other and give each other big hugs, even though they play on opposite teams. That doesn't mean they let up when they're going to hit them, eh?
Oh, no, no, not at all. You know, it's all about sportsmanship, and they realize that when they're out there and the game's on, they're going to hate each other. They're going to hit each other hard. They're not going to let up. But once the game's over, it's all about the respect, right, that they have for each other, respect for all the hard work that they put in. So, you know, there's always the handshake or the hug or the slap on the butt, you know. So that's just what football is, right? You know, they play hard, and then they party harder.
And on that subject, another similarity between the two teams is they have locations, establishments that they frequent and offer an opportunity to the fans to frequent with them. Jamie, why don't you tell us about the Argos version of that?
Well, we meet at Shoeless Joe's on King Street West. It's a great little spot. A good amount of the players show up after every game, win or lose, which is a big deal. And they don't mind at all to talk to you, take pictures, sign autographs. They're great guys, every single one of them. So it's a lot different of an experience, when you find with hockey players or maybe NFL players, the NBA players. I don't find they've got the same sort of, they show a lot of appreciation, I think, in both of the National Lacrosse League and the CFL towards their fans, you know, because they realize without us, you know, there's no game, right?
Absolutely. Aaron, from your perspective?
Yeah. Oh, from our perspective, Toronto Rock, basically you're going to find them after every game at Real Sports. It's a great treat to be able to rub elbows with them after the game. Even on the road, visiting players are just as accommodating. They're just happy to see people come out to the games.
Now, these players aren't shy about basically working for a living. They're not adverse to sharing that information with you.
And no, some of not the people, in the playlist.
Yeah, and some of the people that like these guys as players and are big fans of theirs find out, like, it must be hilarious when they go to talk to a player and the player does what he does for a living or does what she does for a living.
Indeed.
They end up having more to talk about than the game, huh?
Sometimes it works out that way.
Well, it's really nice because, you know, unfortunately, let's be honest, okay? I'm a big sports fan, and I love sports. But the hardest part for me to embrace about sports is the jaded nature of some of the players. So it's kind of a relief, to run into players such as the ones that play for the National Lacrosse League and for those that play with the Canadian Football League that are ordinary men with big dreams. They haven't given up on their dreams. I don't know. Like, you know, the CFL has an opportunity, for example, we have our running back that was the MVP at the Grey Cup. He has an opportunity to be considered to work for and with the New York Jets. That's a pretty big deal. Lacrosse doesn't have that luxury. How difficult does that make it to keep the game pumped, Aaron?
To be honest, a lot of players realize that they've hit the pinnacle of the sport with the National Lacrosse League. I think a lot of them realize there is nowhere else for the game to go here unless they get major, major investors. And by that, I mean huge corporations. But that, in and of itself, automatically changes the nature of the game. You know, it's not going to be the same sport that they grew up with if it goes corporate. And I think a lot of them still play the sport because that, to them, is what's important. It's not the money. It's the people. And it's the game itself, as opposed to pulling in a $1 million contract. Although I can guarantee you, if the odd opportunity came along, some of them probably would jump at it. But it's more the fact that you play the game because you love the game. And I think that's what I think makes it, not only for the players, but for the fans.
I have to concur with you, and I agree. And the way I'll agree is this way. It's a lot of fun to play a game that you love, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't have to pay to play. And you get some spending money out of the deal. Because if that weren't true, There wouldn't be beer leagues like to no end in hockey. There wouldn't be beer leagues to no end in baseball. There would be no end to the teams. You know what I mean? That if it wasn't for the fact that they love playing. You know what I mean? A lot of people love playing the game. And we forget that sometimes because, you know, like you say, I guess that's the term I'll use, it becomes very corporate and the players earn so much money, it's no longer a game, it's a business. And for some, that's not why they're there. And you've made that very clear. I think there's a lot of players in the CFL who realized, you know, I'm not going to play in the NFL, but I can have a lot of fun playing in the CFL. And I don't doubt that there are players like that out there. And, you know, I know by their attitude they are. Now, down deep, do they wish they could play in the NFL? Well, for goodness sake, I'm sure tonight when you were playing goal, tired as you are and you're coming on the air, the real trooper, you know, the thought might have entered your mind once or twice. What would it be like to be playing at the ACC?
Well, the thought is definitely there. The thrill, just the kick of playing in front of 12 to 13,000 people would just be huge.
And isn't Sorry, I apologize. Go ahead.
No worries. The average attendance this year is in the 11,500 to 12,000 range, which is pretty cool. It's not as big as it was in the Rock's heyday. We're talking 99 to 2005. They actually packed over 19,000 fans into the Air Canada Center in 2005 for their final against the Arizona Sting. So, I mean, just the thrill of playing in front of a crowd that huge would be just ginormous. But even stepping in front of 10 to 11,000 people would just be huge.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people really, gather a lot of pride. And then once playing in that situation where they're playing in front of people, the other thing is as well is that you're playing with the best, and that's got to be charged.
Yeah, that's definitely huge.
And
go ahead.
No, you guessed first. How's that?
I was just going to say, just playing with the best of the best in a league, playing a sport that you love, I don't think there's anything that can ever top that.
I don't think so either. I know that Jamie and I, when we visit with the players, they are really thrilled to see us, and they're really thrilled to play the game. And I don't think anyone anywhere that either watched the Grey Cup on television or watched it like we did from the stands that can doubt for even a second that the experience is not very uplifting and probably more uplifting than much of what's happened in their lives. They look so thrilled, and it's really a joy to watch these guys, you know, grow. And you live, you know, you live and breathe and live and die with them game after game, and then they finally make it to the championship. I know for you and for the Rock fans, you've had that many times, but I don't think it diminishes in any way each time they do it.
No, it never gets old. I don't think it'll ever get old for me. You know, watching them hoist the cup, having the chance to share it with them and celebrate with them, as I'm sure you have a chance to do with the Argos after they won the Grey Cup. You know, there's no feeling that can ever compare to that.
And witnessing it firsthand,
yeah, is even
quite
better.
A joy. No, it's important, and it's a really good thing. And we all forget, I think, in life, you know. It's been said that, you know, it's not about success, it's about the journey. But I think the arrival is pretty important, too.
No, I can't disagree with you on that one.
You know, the journey's wonderful, but the arrival, that moment when you look around and you say, this year we were the best, that's quite the feeling, even as a fan. And I don't think there's a fan worth their salt that doesn't feel that way. They live and die for their team, right, Aaron?
Oh, there is one thing better, though, Frank.
Oh, what's better?
Next year is ours, too.
Well, you know, there's two things. We're talking right now. We're talking all the juicy stuff, the lovely stuff, Jamie. Don't forget, though, there's another part of the equation. There's a word I hate, and a word that comes to light every so often, like it did for Calgary. Disappointment. It can happen, buddy. You can be disappointed. And you know, it's as low as it is high when you win. So, you know, that doesn't mean you don't give it all. And it doesn't mean you don't believe your team's going to do it. But it does mean a different feeling if they don't win. I'm sure the San Francisco fans aren't as happy as the Baltimore fans today.
No, true enough. But it's much nicer to repeat.
Oh, well, you know, isn't that the end? Isn't that what's got to happen? And isn't that Barker's, you know, mandate for this year? Repeat.
I sure hope so.
Well, you know, they've got a great chance. The Argos are a team on an upswing. I don't think anyone can deny that. The Montreal Alouettes, at very best, aren't flatlining, but they're flat. Like, you know, I mean, they're having trouble finding a coach. And no one should be surprised about that. You know, I mean, you know, all the publicity was, let's get a French-speaking coach. Well, now, I think the coach they wanted ended up in Ottawa.
As the GM.
The GM, sorry, yes. I think the coach they wanted is the GM that ended up being the GM in Ottawa. I think that's what they wanted. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. The team is not doing that well. We've spoken over and over again. Hamilton's rebuilding. Winnipeg's, you know, they're an X factor. Who knows how they're going to, you know, they went hot and cold, you know.
Listen, Winnipeg had a lot of fresh bodies. They started off the season on the road. I think they started the first five games on the road last season. That's always rough for anybody. Hopes of a new stadium that's going to be, was supposed to have been built. By the time I made it out to Winnipeg, they were 0-8. And I went to the game, and they won. It was against Hamilton, I believe, which was all much nicer, of course. But 29,000 fans were there. It was sold out, even for a team that was 0-8. These people really supported their team. And I think that what's happening in Winnipeg is that if Buck Pearce stays healthy, that's a big if. But if Buck Pearce stays healthy, they have one of the hottest running backs in the league. I don't know why he's not in the NFL, in Simpson. And I'm telling you, Winnipeg could be a big surprise next year.
Absolutely.
If Buck Pearce stays healthy, Winnipeg is a huge surprise.
They're the wild card. For next year, they're more of a wild card than Hamilton. Hamilton's a bit of a wild card, but Winnipeg's a bigger wild card. And then, for me, the next wild card is the team that comes from the West. If that team comes in to the Eastern Division playoffs on a roll, it's going to be difficult to beat them, whoever they are.
No.
I don't know. You know, there's the West is a pretty strong side of football right now for the Canadian Football League.
Toronto's got the hottest coach in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
Now they've got
absolutely
probably the best offensive coordinator in the league.
Well,
we're just going to start scoring a lot more points now to go along with that stellar defense we had last season.
Absolutely. Jones will probably do the same thing and work the same kind of miracle. You know, all I'm saying is that, you know, football's an interesting game. And every sport, and every game, I go back to what Pinball Clemens said. It's how you deal with the adversity early in the game that, you know, that creates the opportunity for you to have great conclusion, which is a victory. So, you know, there are no games that go, you know, even the game that the Argos had against Calgary, if Calgary had caught a break, it could have been different. Even in the Eastern final against Montreal, that catch gets made in the end zone, and they're in overtime. So, you know, the game...
Hey, Frank?
Yeah?
If and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
There you go.
You know,
but I'm just trying to, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Argonauts at all, but I am trying to define sports. And you know, the same thing is true in lacrosse. There's a real ebb and flow in that game. I don't know. Aaron,
I was going to say games can turn on a dime. You can be up 5 goals at the start of a quarter and be down 3 by the end of it.
All because of one play.
All because of, or in Buffalo's case, one really stupid penalty.
There you go.
So,
Well, every sport is something to be concerned about. Now, today I offered a special opportunity for both you guys because you guys love to talk. I actually am willing to carry on unless you're tired. Do you want to go to bed? Are you tired, you two? Are you tired?
I would absolutely love to keep going.
Well, we can keep going if you want for a few more minutes.
Sure.
I don't feel very well, and I don't know about people when they're sick. I hate going to sleep when I'm sick.
I'm actually pretty much of the same mind. It's not anything I really particularly enjoy doing because I know as soon as I put my head down, it's going to get harder to breathe.
Exactly. Thank you for understanding that. So, you guys, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you guys a chance to change the subject. You get to pick the subject. We'll take a break, give you a chance to wrap your heads around an idea of what you think we should talk about next. And when we come back, we'll do that. How's that?
All right.
You game, Jamie? I think he already went to sleep.
Well, if he's already gone, there's no point in me sticking around. You may as well get your beauty rest too, Frank.
There ain't enough rest in the world for me to turn beautiful. You can forget about that.
You can fake it for a while.
No, you and I can have a chat if you want. I'll take a break. We'll come back. And do you think of something to talk about? Don't say what it is now. But when we come back, do you think you can come up with a subject?
I'll try.
Okay, let's go for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Hello.
What's
the
towel
yes.
on it?
Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you, I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100, yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Well, there you go. Okay, joining us is John Granger, my usual right-hand man. But still, we have Aaron on the line. Aaron, have you come up with a topic to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
I was actually thinking about this is like something that kind of gets me because you hear it bandied around a lot, and it's league parity.
Oh, and we're going to talk about league parity in every sport?
Pretty much.
Which, okay, so let's start by saying this. Okay, which league has the most parity? John, you're first.
That's a tough one. By the way, hi, Aaron. How you doing? And I had a question for Aaron. Since you've asked Jamie if he had a question for the lacrosse fan, a rock
fan. Okay, we'll finish that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, you know, you started watching the games there back when they had them in the Maple Leaf Gardens, and I went to one game there. Mm-hmm. And I've also been to a couple at the Air Canada Centre Arena. I mean, just the intimacy is lost. And I'm also shocked because when they started playing in Maple Leaf Gardens, I mean, there were large crowds. As you said, when they moved into the Air Canada Arena, again, large crowds. I don't understand the Toronto people here. I really, really don't. It's either they're such big bandwagon people that they just like to jump on at the end and just want to feel part of it, but I just don't get why they don't support the Rock as more. I mean, you know, you got your 12,000, 10,000 hardcore fans that come out, but what did you see the difference in the Maple Leaf atmosphere compared to – is it the – I mean, it was a little bit more tighter. I mean, you know, you would be sitting uncomfortably in those seats at the Gardens, but you were a little bit closer to the actual action. I don't think it really makes a difference, does it, Air, between the two arenas?
I got to be honest with you. Sitting in the confines of the Garden as compared to the Air Canada Center, you are looking at slightly more intimate. Everybody's side by jowl in the Air Canada Center. You're packed in. They really maximized seat volume in there by making them just a little bit narrower. But I think one of the reasons why there's actually as big of a disparity as there is between 2005 and now is you have something called, and this is a sort of a period of infamy for rock fans, is what's called the Klopfer era. This is a period from from 2006 till 2009. The original ownership of the Rock sold it to an individual by the name of Mike Klopfer. He ran ran a company called Titan Trailer up north. In the Barrie area. He traded away some of the key assets to the team. He changed the coaching group. There was a lot of turnover in the staff, and the team, not to put too fine a point on it, sucked like a Dyson for a couple of years. And that, I think, drew a lot of people away. The fact that they
really
won championships in 99, 2000, 2002, 3, and 5, and then all of a sudden to go from, you know, having leading the league and being 10-6, you know, 13-3 at one point, 14-2 in another year, to barely going 8-8 and scraping into the playoffs and then getting out in the first round. That was something that turned off a lot of fans.
So you really think it was the record that made a difference? Now, speaking of the record and the arenas, Markham, I mean, you know, they're getting the arena. Now there's a viable other
alternative,
choice,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they can go to. What would you think about trekking to Markham?
I don't have a problem with it. My parents are up there, which means that if I get too drunk at the games, I have a place to crash, which is cool. But the other thing that you also have to consider with the Air Canada Center is it's located right at a major transport hub. Union
right.
is right there. So anybody who's coming in from Ajax, Pickering, Whitby, Oshawa, Peterborough, that narrative is there. Those Peterborough is huge for lacrosse. So is Brooklyn-Whitby area. And then you have everybody coming in from Brampton, in Mississauga, they're all coming in. It's all the major – it's like it's all right there. You move that up to Markham, you lose that.
So, Aaron, what you're saying right now, if the Rock management, were looking down the road thinking, what if Markham Arena came to us and asked us to be a tenant, would this be something that the fans would want and appreciate? Maybe a different price range – because they would be making it more attractive. But would a price deduction matter to you more than the location right now being downtown? I mean, I think that's probably where the Rock want to be too, because like you said, all the major transport leads into the downtown core. So you're saying right now to management that you probably would rather stay than go up there.
At this point, I would rather, I personally speaking, as a fan of the game, not speaking in any way for management, I just want to make that clear. I would rather be staying at the Air Canada Center for
guys,
the time being.
Frank, by the way, I got to let you know, you got plenty of time tonight. You're extended by a half an hour of the show.
No kidding,
so,
I did. That's what I did.
Okay, yeah, so don't worry about it. And I also wanted to ask Aaron another thing on the situation.
I just wanted to, hang on a second. I just wanted to add a point to what you said. And Aaron, on what John said, is it not enough of a carrot to know that if the team were able to make a bigger profit, pay less, it might not become, you know, instead of just talking about the fans paying, better, the team as well making more of a profit because they wouldn't be forced to accept the tenant fee that they give right now?
There's another – this. You see, this moving to a new arena and having it further from your fan base, this kind of parallels the situation the Vancouver Ravens ran into in the early 2000s. See, the problem that the Vancouver Ravens had is a lot of their fans were out on Victoria Island. There were a lot of Victoria Shamrocks fans. So they'd have to take the ferry over in order to get into Vancouver. Going to a lacrosse game then meant for them having to spend the extra money on a hotel to stay there.
Perfect. Now, hang on a sec. I'm going to bring somebody else in. Let me say hello to please give us your name and where you're calling from. You're up.
Colleen.
Hi,
and I'm calling from Cambridge.
Perfect.
Hey, Colleen, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, cuz? So,
sorry,
Aaron,
Colleen is actually my cousin.
Yeah.
Okay, make sure you have your TV or your whatever or your computer down low so that we don't hear ourselves back up. Colleen?
It should be muted. I'm not sure why it's doing that. Hang on just one second.
No worries. Okay, John, well, Colleen takes care of that. Get on to the next point you were trying to make.
You lost my point. I was just excited the fact that we had another caller, and it's great to have an initial caller and a related caller. All right, way to go. You know what, Frank, it threw me off. I did have a question, another follow-up question for Aaron regarding the Rock, but it just bounced my mind right now.
Oh, no worries. So the idea of moving is not a good one. I think we've beaten that horse. You had a question or an idea that you wanted to discuss. Aaron, can you?
Yes, Gary was talking about league parity. Basically, we're talking about this sudden driving desire to have all the teams be equal.
Yeah, and which team, which league does that the best? In your
NASCAR.
NASCAR. They all start from the same spot. I think the NFL comes the closest, but in a very subtle way. Because they actually don't have parity. I think I'm going to end up going down the road that the reason you're snickering at parity. How can you have parity in a successful league where the owners are rewarded even when they suck?
And I mean, you get into the same question with the NHL and revenue sharing. You have teams like Phoenix, teams like Columbus, teams like, pick one, that royally suck the bag, and they get fed money from the successful teams. There's absolutely no incentive for them to do any better.
John, you want to kick in?
Actually, I want to kick in by Frank. Can we go to a break? We just want to adjust the sound a little bit. Everybody's coming a little bit too echoey on the other end, so we'll try to figure that out. Can you throw us to a break, Frank?
Sure.
We'll be right back.
You want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it!
I know. Bye. Okay, there we go. Got a little bit of a technical difficulty, but we'll work it out. Everybody okay now?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm
okay,
here.
Good.
I'm still here, too.
Okay, so what I did was I tried rebooting the mics. Anyway, so we talk about parity, and parity is something that leagues like people think is happening for one very important reason. They want all the teams and their fans to believe they've got a chance. Aaron, isn't that what you're getting at? And that's kind of impossible to prove or to create the reality?
That's pretty much what it boils down to, yeah. I mean, you try to give the impression that you're doing the best you can, And I think one of the organizations that has actually excelled at this for the past four decades has been MLSE.
Colleen, what do you think?
Well, I'm more to the NASCAR analogy because motorsports is my thing. So I found it interesting that he brought NASCAR in as the comparison for parity.
Why is NASCAR more of a parity than any other league or sporting endeavor?
Well, because NASCAR looks at it from a technical perspective in terms of parity. So they're looking at the cars and the equipment as opposed to the people. Because you can't create parity amongst drivers. Some drivers are more talented than others. That's just reality. And the same, I would think, holds true for players, whether they're playing lacrosse, hockey, football, or baseball or basketball. What they do is they go after the technical aspect and the thing they can control, which is what's in the car and what's in the equipment that's used.
And so that... Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I wanted to hear what you had to say, and I'll try and say it my way.
Yeah.
Essentially, the difference between NASCAR and other sports is when you draft a car. And by the way, I don't mean drafting in the vehicle sense.
Yeah.
When you draft your car, you're drafting the exact same car with the exact same power and with the exact same weakness. The only difference is the captain of the team, which is the driver.
Yeah, and the guys in pit lane, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, your human factor is the part you can't create the parity in.
But you're starting off. The starting point is ironically equal while they race by starting in a grid. But the equality and what makes it the parity. A possibility is that the equipment is topped up, and that's as good as you can be. Now the question of how you apply your ability and your team's ability on that given day.
Exactly.
So other sports where there's parity, in my opinion, I think there's parity in soccer, and the reason in European football, international football, maybe I should call it. There's parity there by virtue of the sheer numbers that participate. In my opinion, Aaron, to answer your question.
So you're saying that by having those 11 players on the field, just
By having the 200 countries involved, and each time they have a championship, you know what it's like? It's like college basketball. When it comes down to the final four, you know, there's parity because the teams that aren't as good don't get involved down the road.
Whereas, so you're talking about the difference between Division III and the Premier League is basically what we're looking at. And when it comes to the World Cup, the 64 teams that play down to the 32 before you actually get into the tournament proper.
Which is why there are upsets between teams who historically have the right to win. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's because it's all about immediacy, right? With football, with international football, it's how you're playing, how that team played in that year, right? Because it's all about up to that 1 year, 4 years. Everybody's working towards that. And all you need is a team chemistry that just works some magic. Even though, for the most part, one of the top six countries always wins, one of the top 10 countries always wins, I guess. No, I think an underdog team has won it in a very long time. So maybe my theory is incorrect. Now that I'm thinking about it.
It'll be close enough for government work.
I'm brought to my panel. I'm allowed to criticize myself. I don't criticize the listeners because I don't think it's fair. But anyway, having said that, any other leagues that smack parity, I mean, baseball does in a way. I mean, more than any other league, it doesn't matter how much you spend, you can win the World Series.
Yeah, but when was the last time you saw anybody coming out of the Blue Jays division in the playoffs that wasn't Boston or New York?
Yeah, but that's another story.
Tampa?
Oh, well, no, it was last year.
Tampa Bay.
And the past few years, Tampa Bay has kicked one of them out of the equation, with Boston. And last, Baltimore made it to the playoffs.
Fair enough.
Well, made it to the playoffs are Blue Jays. And Blue Jays are trying to make the move that they're making because they don't want to be – they don't want people to be wise to the fact, I think, that they're the only team in the East that has been in the playoffs in a while.
Hey, Frank.
Yes?
I have a question I want to throw at my cousin, given some of the earlier conversation about revenue streams.
Okay.
All right, Aaron. I'll throw this one out to you because you've been talking a lot about concessions, ticket sales, and stuff like that. I don't recall, while I was listening, hearing you say much about sponsorship and sponsorship dollars. Is that something that could play a part in sort of promoting The Rock or in helping The Rock to get to where they need to be?
Well, one of the issues that you're going to run into here is the fact that there's a league sponsor for the NLL. The only equipment they're allowed to use is Reebok equipment. So there's not really a lot of opportunity for other companies like Warrior to get back involved again, or STX, or Brine, or De Beer. It's all Reebok stuff now. So the issue with sponsorship is kind of a murky one at best.
But a fun one, not the least.
The way the league is currently set up, though, there was one of the goalies, actually, in Colorado, got ejected with 6:49 left in the game for using illegal equipment. And it wasn't because it was oversized or anything like that. It was, I believe, because it wasn't Reebok.
Understandable. But I think Colleen's question would be broader than the equipment. Colleen?
Yeah, I was thinking overall sponsorships.
Like the signboards. Can they get the kind of sponsorship, some real serious dollars? What's in the way of them getting that, I think, is what Colleen's wondering. What would it take to get more of a hardcore sponsor, than they have right now?
Well, I think one of the issues that we're looking at with the NLL is the fact that they're currently confined to TSN and TSN2, the dose, as I call it. So they're limited in that respect with regards to exposure. They have tried to have radio shows on TSN Radio Mondays at 7. But the problem that they have here, again, is there's not enough exposure, I don't think, for any national sponsors to really seriously consider it. I mean, it's great that Tim Hortons came on board this year. They're sponsoring all of the Rock warm-ups throughout the course of the season, but there's just not enough nationwide exposure, not enough interest, unfortunately. It's more of a niche sport than anything else, and I hate calling it that.
And it's because of the narrowness of coverage.
That's basically what we're looking at here, is the fact that we're confined to TSN2, TSN, and ESPN3. In the States, they used to have a deal with CBS, which gave them broader exposure, but that's going back almost 6 or 7 years.
Well, to extend Colleen's question, to take it a step further, unless, Colleen, you want to jump in here and clarify your question a little more, do you want to? Or?
Well, I guess I was thinking of it because, like I said, my area is actually motorsport. I was thinking it more from the perspective of the way in which motorsport manages to attract sponsors for events, sponsors for individual competitors, sponsors for the overall series. And there's a lot of sort of work in motorsports that goes into attracting those sponsors. And, I mean, everybody's looking for the magic formula to find more sponsors and more sponsor dollars. And I had to think that some of that might be applicable to sports teams as well.
Well, it's beginning to happen. If you watch a Leaf game now, a hockey game, you will notice that there are ads on the ice now in various quadrants of the ice where they didn't exist before. So
I have another good example there, Frank. European hockey. Their jerseys are littered. with that.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah, and there's still signs on the boards.
Yeah, and helmets.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's not something that hasn't been looked into. I have a suggestion for NASCAR if they want to do more advertising. And that would be what they should do is if, can you imagine if they had bigger drivers? Imagine how many more patches they could put on them.
Yeah, but you got that small problem of, you know, the more the driver weighs.
No, I know, but because he's a bigger driver, they get to offset the limitation on the power in the engine and all that stuff. So they can raise it by a ratio that equates or makes equal the weight as opposed to the drive of the vehicle. So if you had a guy like, I don't know, weighed 400 or 500 pounds, can you imagine the stuff they could put on that guy? Signboards on him.
So basically what we're talking about is handicapping NASCAR drivers like you do horses.
Absolutely.
Oh, good Lord.
Can you imagine the water loading that would happen before races? I used to cox when it came to rowing. And they'd be stuffing me with water before every single race, so I'd be 2 or 3 pounds above what I normally weighed. Wow. And they wouldn't let me pee until right before the race.
My
God. Imagine doing that to NASCAR drivers?
That would be
I don't even want to think about that, because the whole thing about corner weighting and weight distribution just goes out the window when you change the driver's weight.
That was all a joke, but okay, I'm glad you guys took it seriously. No, you know what? But the point is, I guess what I'm trying to say in a funny way is that every square inch of wherever the camera may be, there's going to be sponsorship in every league. That's where we're headed, to answer your question, Holly.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And, I mean, I see it when I watch World Juniors as well.
Absolutely, and that's what Jamie was referring to. They have those stickers on the helmet, and they look like stickers. You'd almost think they stole that about 10 minutes before the game. So, parity, raising money for teams. What can teams like the Argos and of course the Rock do to enhance their profit margin? I think, in my opinion, I'll give you guys a chance to voice it. I think it would be advantageous if the Rock and the Argos had their own facilities that they could use and populate in a manner that they feel would be profitable is the only next step that will help those teams do better and be more strong in the future. Why don't you, Aaron, go next? On the issues we discussed, what do you see as the summation to it, your opinion?
Well, and again, this is I'm harping on your points here, Frank, but going back to them having their own facility to control revenue streams, the only really other thing that these organizations can do at this point is sell more merchandise. And there's only so many jerseys I can buy because I can only wear one at a time.
Absolutely. Colleen, your turn.
It's a whole mix of issues from the sounds of what I've been hearing tonight, and I unfortunately don't have any great answer for these issues, and I think that if you look across the sport, you'll also find, or different sports, you'll find that not everybody has those answers either, and I think, you know, the Rock isn't the only sports team that may very well be struggling with this issue of how do we build a revenue stream, how do we build a bigger fan base.
Perfect.
And I don't have the answers. I wish I did, because I'd be worth a whole lot of money then.
Okay, Colleen, let's go to Jamie. You got 15 seconds, Jamie, and then I got an extra.
Well, in the case of the Argos this year, if we're talking merchandise, there just wasn't enough. We missed out on things like scarves and stuff like that. So
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argonauts!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.